This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, live from the Polk County Fair in the L&L Equipment KYKN booth, presented by Vanwell Building Supply. Here's Brent and Dave.
Welcome back to Polk County Fair in the main building is where we are. Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on Newsmakers Special Edition, hour number two. And we welcome back Anna Scharf, the chair board member, who says she's going to be back again next year.
Oh my gosh, here we go with the peer pressure.
10 years she's been doing this as a volunteer, folks. And this year has to be off the charts.
It is off the charts.
Do you take a couple days off after this? Because you got to be on your feet for three days solid.
And we talked about this yesterday. I farm.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is my vacation.
Right?
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Right back to the farm.
You know, this is a great place to spend a vacation, though.
Right.
I mean, you get all the awesome food you could possibly ever want, calorie free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I walked, right. What did I just say? I walked like 7.5 miles yesterday, so I got my steps in. I get great entertainment. I mean, it's like the perfect vacation, all for the price of admission.
All right, folks, if you're at work listening to KYKN, take the rest of the day off.
Yeah.
That's Brent's advice. Go ahead and tell the boss I'm going out to the Polk County Fair.
Mental health day.
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of county workers here.
Workers are here.
Yeah, they're out here supporting. They came out for corn dogs. I mean, Commissioner Ainsworth, that is his favorite thing, is our hand-dipped corn dogs.
See?
He'll be here.
My wife was really bummed that she missed the Fiddler Show yesterday.
They were fantastic.
So what kind of music do we have today and tomorrow?
So today, the stage is a little quiet today, but we do have an amazing entertainment tonight with local entertainment. So this is our youth talent show, and we start with the little kids, and we work all the way up to the adult talent show following that. Starting at 5 o'clock this afternoon. There's always entertainment with the animal shows going on, so the kids are still showing animals.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of Blue Jacket FFA kids on earlier.
Yes, we did.
So they're always out there with their animals, working their animals, happy to talk to you as you walk through the fair. The train's running all day today. The train, one of two fairs in the state of Oregon that has that train. And our train is a free train ride, so bring your kids out. You get a little free tram ride of the fair. And then there's the dinosaur exhibit. Still there, again, free, with price of admission. And then we're open till 10 o'clock tonight, tons and tons of food. And then we'll roll into the final day Saturday. So if you can't get out of work, if the boss won't let you off work.
There's that.
You're not married to the boss like I am, and you just tell him you're going on vacation. Come tomorrow. Make sure you get here, because we're not a four-day fair anymore. We're 3 days, so we end tomorrow. So tomorrow's action-packed.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is super action-packed from 10 to 10 again tomorrow. We've got beautiful baby contest in the morning.
Warren's going to be here
with
for that.
Warren's been doing our beautiful baby contest since I've been on the fair board, so at least 10 years.
I was going to say, since you were the beautiful baby.
I was the beautiful baby. Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
We're talking to Anna Scharf. She is the board chair for the Polk County Fair. And gosh, you put so much energy into this.
And it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of
It sounds like it's a lot of fun for you, though, too.
It is. It is. I love this county fair. I've always loved this county fair. I moved to Polk County 22 years ago. I grew up in Benton County, so I grew up at a small county fair, and this is truly still one of the most amazing small county fairs left in the state of Oregon. We're not the big state fair. We don't have the big, huge carnival rides, but you can bring your family and come here for a day of entertainment and literally stay entertained and have activities all day to do with just the price of admission.
Right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I like to go over and see the implements. Not everybody likes the boy toys, but I love to go over and see all the different implements.
The horns work, too.
Yeah, see if I can, something that I kind of find a purpose so that I can own this.
There's a reason we take the keys out. It's because of people like you.
There's also a guy over here who sells mobile mill equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a mobile sawmill.
It's surprisingly affordable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is really cool. You can mill your own trees on site. That's very cool. And, of course, the animals and walk through the animals and things like
And eating your way through. These guys, I wish this was television sometimes, because every time I walk by your table, there's a brand new food here. There is an excellent variety of food.
It's our obligation. Brent and Dave, it's our obligation to make sure that the vendors are making some money.
Yeah.
And that we can speak to the subject of the fair food adequately.
There's no judging. Totally. I eat my way through the fair for 3 days.
Snack on your way through?
I do. I may have walked 7.5 miles, but I was eating the entire time I was walking. Yeah. So big one not to miss tomorrow night. I want to make sure folks know tomorrow afternoon at 3, since you talked to the Blue Jacket kids, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, we start our youth livestock auction. Mm-hmm. So if you're at all interested and you like to bid on animals or just want to come watch an exciting auction, those kids will take the ring tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock and auction off their animals to go to market. And so it's a really good experience. Those kids have put a lot of time and effort into it, and you'll be surprised at how much money this little county fair. Last year we did over $500,000 in that market auction ring.
That's incredible. Wow, that is impressive.
I know.
How long does that auction last?
We've trimmed it down a bit. Sometimes it went 8 hours in the years past, but we're usually done by 8 o'clock at the very latest. So it'll start at 3. You can pop in, pop out. You can go get an adult beverage, pop back in with your adult beverage.
Right.
It shouldn't be blazing hot like some years in the past. Our weather is phenomenal. And then as soon as the auction's over, we're going to have the Dusty Roads Band on the main stage. And they are an Oregon band, just signed a Nashville contract. Awesome country music. Last night we had people dancing in front of the stage. So put on your boots and come down tomorrow night and dance in front of the stage while Dusty Rhodes is playing.
Because who knows? You might be watching them on TV one day or seeing them headline and you're like, oh, I saw them when.
Old Dominion started playing county fairs. In fact, I saw Old Dominion at a county fair last weekend. So it's just a great chance to bring your family. Come on out. We got tons of seating. So you don't have to pack your own chairs in.
To the auction, what's the most expensive animals that go on the auction?
Probably the beef.
The beef. I mean, the largest ears.
They're big. They sell them by the pound.
Yeah.
So the meat chickens are sold by the meat rabbits are sold by the pen. So you buy, I think there's 5 or 6 of them in the pen. So you buy the pen. But everything else is by, and turkeys are sold individual, but everything else is by weight. So.
And how much does that go for?
I saw a turkey go for $400 last year.
Whoa.
I hope it was a good Thanksgiving. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, she was saying, one of the girls was saying, it's 42-pound turkey. So
right. They're big birds.
Yeah, it can be a big...
They look more like ostriches. I mean, these are big, big... And the meat chickens are huge, too.
Sure. You can also bid on them and win them and donate them back to FFA.
You can. Right? You can donate the animals back. There's also a program called Pork for People, which you can donate your animals back to as well. And that meat is all used for local food banks and pantries and things like that. So it's just a big, huge circle of giving and opportunities for these kids to learn about things. And I think I've bought one of every species since I've been on the board. I take that back. I have not bought a turkey. So I think I'm going to pig this year.
It's your family farm, though. You don't do animals, right?
Oh, gosh.
You do crops.
No. You're no. No. There's 2 cats and a dog, and that's as far as I go with animals on our farm. No.
That's a good farm, then.
Yeah. It's a perfect farm. No horses. You just gas it up and go, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, horsepower is good.
We were talking yesterday about all the different kinds of crops that you grow on the farm out in Fairydale.
Yeah, good job. Yeah.
Okay.
15 minutes up the road.
He actually remembered something today.
I know, that's awesome.
Right in the middle of an interview earlier today, I asked the same question like 4 minutes apart.
Oh, that's okay.
So it's clearly time for me to take the rest of the day off. Would that be okay, Dave?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I've got a county fair to hit.
I was going to say, you should take the day off and go to the county fair.
I'm going with Anna. Wherever Anna goes, I go.
There we go. You better put some shoes on because we got to walk.
Those are not walking shoes, buddy.
No. Go home, get them boots. We're hitting it.
Well, the kids were really a highlight. It was nice to see both 4-H kids and FFA kids. And it's nice to see because you worry a little bit about the generation.
Absolutely.
Right? Of course, you're out in the country anyway. But if you look at America in general, it's so rural. And we've been talking on Newsmakers about the rural and urban divide and the complete disconnect of understanding each other.
Yeah.
And to see kids And I don't want to be a judgmental cretin or anything, but, you know, kids who only know video games after school and don't know this whole chain of how is it that our society can function and how is it we can feed not just America, but huge parts of the world, and how valuable these agricultural sciences are. And if your kid knows nothing about it, bring them out of here if they're 5 years old even and get them to start learning about animals and raising animals and how it's bred and how, I mean, let's just continue a little bit. We talked yesterday about the chain of events that need to happen to even get a hamburger bun, right?
Right.
But let's talk about the meat part, because somebody is like these kids, they've got a hog for market, but they got to feed the dang thing for a long time.
So I grow grass seed, right? That's one of the crops I talked to you about yesterday. Okay, and clover. And you're going to talk to Kathy Hadley here in a little bit, but she grows as well. Those go for feed. So they're growing pasture that feeds the animal that you then eat.
And there's vet bills, and you're taking care of it. Then you grow it, and then you have to sell it, and then it has to be processed, and then it has to go to market, and it has to be butchered, and on and on and on. It has to go through inspections, and it goes to the retailer, and then you finally get to buy it. And it's just amazing.
Well, the one I always crack up about is the price of a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
So go look at how inexpensive a loaf of bread is at Safeway, and then think about all the components that go into that loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure anybody, well, I know wheat farmers aren't getting rich, but there's a lot of agricultural commodity products that go into making that loaf of bread. And I met some folks yesterday that were here from Beaverton, and rural urban divide. I was so excited to see folks from the cities, from the Portland metro area coming down, and they'd never been here before. And I found them in the sheep barn.
Nice.
And one of those little blue jacket kids was just giving them an earful.
Oh,
and I
thought,
you know, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I'm so passionate and why we do this.
All right, we got to take a break. There's more to come. We got more people to talk to and more things to explain to you about the Polk County Fair. This is a special second hour edition of Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. Stick with us. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, live from the Polk County Fair in the L&L Equipment KYKN booth, presented by Vanwell Building Supply. Here's Brent and Dave.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem in our booth here at the Polk County Fair. Proudly brought to you in part by The Landscape Shop, State Farm Insurance, Mitch Ratzliff, Dallas Automotive as well.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and we're having a blast out here at the Polk County Fair. I can't wait to get out from behind the booth and maybe experience some of the rest of the fair.
Yeah.
In the studio, I keep saying that.
We are kind of in a mobile studio.
Live in the mobile studio.
In my personal space today.
We have another guest. And this is a topic that I can't wait to hear about. Kathy Hadley's in the booth to talk. She's a volunteer with Timber Unity. Timber Unity, right?
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about Timber Unity.
All right. Well, Timber Unity, best word to describe it is grassroots.
Awesome.
Basically, it came together through a completely organic effort this last spring during the legislative session as a pushback to some of the policies that would have just hurt the natural resource industries terribly. And I say natural resources, not only that, I mean, any small business owner, truckers, construction workers, it's just disproportionately would have been affected by a lot of the policies, the big ones being cap and trade, and then the House Bill 2007 that had to deal with the diesel regulations, that we were able to at least get that one switched to much less impact.
So how did word get about? How did it start to...
Yeah, so my understanding of how everything really got rolling with this is there were a few guys up in Washington County that kind of saw some of the stuff going on and were like, hey, this is a huge problem. They made the trip down to the Capitol, talked to some people. Well, then they went back, told their friends. They came back with more friends, then came back again and had the first big truck rally that was at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And then on June 27th, we had the really huge one that there were a couple thousand people where we had all the trucks, the tractors. We had the actual speakers, you know, go through. And so it was just, you know, I've told several people, but honestly, it made me choke up seeing that around the Capitol and seeing all those real hardworking Oregonians, you know, the people that have, I don't know how many have said, I've never done anything political in my life.
I hope they feel like it made a difference.
Exactly. I think people do. I think people are realizing that's really what this is all about, is getting people to understand that as rural Oregonians, you can make a difference. Your voice does matter. And we've flat out got to get some different legislators elected, for one, in some of these more rural areas. And then two, the ones that are in the urban areas, help educate them. Because, you know, you're always going to have philosophical differences, but a lot of them just flat out, they don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously hearing from people that, you know, have different opinions about the way we should be operating. Mm-hmm. So we need to be out there explaining why we do what we do, why it's safe, why it's good for the environment.
So Timber Unity obviously participated in that on June 27th, but also we saw transportation sector join into that,
yeah.
ag sector. The agricultural sector,
yep.
You know, and it turned out to be quite an impressive little display. And hopefully people, when they're looking into next February, it makes an impact in terms of, make them think twice about the number of people they're impacting, right?
I would certainly hope so. And I hope it helps invigorate the people. I mean, I sure think it is. We've got a booth here at the county fair, right over across the way from where your guys' radio booth is. We're on the front of Building B, and we've got a bunch of merchandise, Timber Unity logo on it and whatnot. And I mean, we've had a steady flow of people getting stuff. We almost sold out of the hoodies that we have yesterday on the first day.
Wow.
Because they were so popular. And so I just think, like I said, there's people that have never done anything political, and they're realizing why it's important to make themselves heard. And I think that's one of the biggest efforts of Timber Unity, is make people understand their vote matters.
All right. So where do you see Timber Unity moving and going in the future?
Well, I know they've went through all the processes to, they've got a PAC formed right now, and have done the stuff they've needed to, you know, legally, Secretary of State's office to register their name, all of that good stuff. So, I mean, I think it's going to be they're going to be a player. They're going to be a voice with these kind of small business, natural resource issues and trucking, whatnot, that, you know, just like any of the other associations and stuff. But I think the thing about it, like I started with, like the grassroots nature of this is what makes it so special, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you look at some of the rural communities and rural occupations. You know, some people aren't really joiners unless it's something really familiar with.
Yeah.
If they're very familiar, obviously, with 4-H and FFH for youth and so forth, and consortiums that have to do directly with their business. But to get it politically involved, it's in certain ways, it's more difficult in rural Oregon, because it's not like you're sitting right there at the Capitol.
Yeah. And right? You're also not, a lot of us aren't sitting at our computers every day at a desk where we can be scanning the news or firing off an email or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, I've had that happen where I've, you know, asked other people to do something for me because I'm not on my computer. I won't get to it for a while.
Yeah.
So the smartphones help with that, obviously. But, you know, back to your point you just made, though, a guy said it perfectly to me yesterday, just in general, you know, kind of historically Republicans, and especially kind of a libertarian mentality, the idea is government shouldn't be involved with a lot of the stuff that it is. And so that's, you know, some people, I think that's philosophically they feel that way, so they don't go out and get involved. And they don't realize how much, I think some of them, how much the other side has pushed to infringe on so much of what we do just in our daily lives. And so I think this movement was all about, there were some people that finally, you know, woke up and said, wait a minute, no, we've got to stand up and push back.
That's right. You're talking to Kathy Hadley here at the Polk County Fair. She's a volunteer with Timber Unity. And stop by their booth, definitely. Is there a web presence for Timber Unity?
Yeah, there is. There's a website. It's really simple, www.timberunity.com.
So that's easy.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So who's in the leadership of Timber Unity? Is this people, when I think of timber, obviously I think of people who own timberland that is grown as a crop for harvest, right? But also, of course, and this is one of those industries that intersects so many different ways to generate economic activity. I know the people in the White Palace over there that don't really get it. Are not really understanding it, but it involves the transportation sector, involves, you know, the mill industry, involves the wood products industry, which involves the housing industry. It just goes on and on and on, the ripples it takes throughout our society.
And there is definitely a presence of some of the larger companies. I mean, it's been reported in several places that Andrew Miller, you know, donated a big chunk to help get the PAC going. That being said, really, this is more about, it's a lot of the smaller woodlot owners, the smaller truckers that work for them. Like the one gal that's over helping man the booth right now, she has a dump truck that she runs, and it's just her and her business. And there's a lot of them that were showing up that were that way. There was one guy my dad just told me about that he had talked to. He had a smaller business, but he had 30 log trucks. He sent everyone to the Capitol that day. He, you know, couldn't really afford to on one hand, but at the same time, he couldn't afford not to.
Yeah.
Because would he have been able to keep going if some of this legislation gets pushed through? Who knows?
I was down there when that was going on, and I did a call to Brent during the show. So I was right there at the Capitol feeling the frustration of all the truckers. I mean, it was totally supporting. And just you could feel the energy of the, and the frustration in their faces, you know, let us be heard kind of thing. You know?
It feels like we've gone through 25 plus years of the timber industry just getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Is that accurate? Is that just a sense?
No, I feel like, I mean, I'm involved in the ag side. We farm here in the Rickrail area and then over in Silverton. But I feel like it has ever in my lifetime just consistently been piling on more and more rules. And with all those rules comes more and more paperwork, more and more restrictions. And yeah, like you said, timber's been especially hit hard with stuff. Obviously, spotted owl is the big one everyone thinks about. But there's all sorts of little stuff every session that, you know, we stop some of it, but a lot of it keeps getting pushed through. And yeah, it just it ties your hands. And it's not any one bill that's the problem. It's the culmination of all of them. So,
and it's the mindset that public policy should be set upon Portland Metro, you know, priorities, right? I mean, we still as a state have not recovered from the spotted owl and the restrictions and the logging. We have not recovered in terms of average household income in Oregon, getting close to 30 years later.
And I mean,
talk about not even shooting yourself in the foot, talking about blowing up your entire economic base.
And I did read there was an article here, opinion piece, I can't remember which paper, but it was talking about how the amount of revenue generated in the state's more in the urban areas. Well, when you shut down the industries in rural, of course it will be. But the other point I want to make on that, a lot of the stuff produced in those urban areas, all of the service or other merchandise type stuff, people don't need. I mean, you can live without that. You can't live without the food, the fiber, the things that we're producing. So it is a different thing, and it is unique. And people need to realize that and think about it that way when they're thinking about our side of things.
Wow. Well, I sure appreciate you jumping in and helping with Timber Unity. This is Kathy Hadley. She's a volunteer, and you're working the booth here. Right?
Yeah, I'm in the booth this morning for a little, or well, afternoon now for a few more minutes, and then I'll be back this evening, and we've got some other volunteers over there that'll be there all day.
And was that Logan I saw a little bit earlier?
Yeah, my little guy Logan's been here all day so far, 4 months old. So.
I've only seen one baby today, but he's my odds-on favorite for a pretty baby tomorrow.
Logan is?
Logan.
Yeah. Okay, good. I like it.
Tomorrow.
Oh, he'll be here. Logan. I've been talking smack, so he's better. He's got to perform now.
He's pretty spectacular. How old's Logan?
Logan is 4 months.
4 months old. Yep. And he's got this, like, I got what's going on smile going on. He's got four fingers in his mouth, and he's still smiling, you know?
Yep, it's little pretty, eyes light up.
Pretty, well, that's because he saw me.
I'm sure that's exactly what it was.
You know, kids just dig me.
Yeah, I got to go find him back from the Fair Board chair that just took him.
I think she just pulled off with him.
She did.
All right, we got a little bit left here in our second hour, so stick with us. We appreciate you joining us on KYKN. This is at the Polk County Fair with Brent and Dave. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractors Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues now, live from the Polk County Fair in the L&L Equipment KYKN booth, presented by Vanwell Building Supply. Here's Brent and Dave, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center, and our booth here at the Polk County Fair, proudly brought to you in part by Stu's Auto Service, Wood Cellars Parkway Furniture, and R&R Tree Service.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We're in the main building if you want to come by and say hi. We're going to be here actually just for the rest of this hour, but in the main building.
Yeah, you'll be on the fair after that.
Yes, part of tonight and tomorrow.
See?
With the family. And anyway, just nice to see all the local businesses that sponsor out here.
Yeah.
I know this is a habit of mine and I preach it, but look around at the banners on the walls. look at who's got booths, who's participating, who's out here making themselves available to the public and getting to know their own customers. And speaking of which, in the booth with us, our very own Grant Kendall, Edward Jones. Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How's the fair for you? You meeting new people?
Absolutely. It's always great to see new people come out here. I remember coming out here when I was 5 years old. So it's a tradition that I love to support and love to be out and about.
That is so cool. Do you do other events like this fair?
I do a couple of other events. I'm always out working with different communities and groups. But this is one of the ones that I really like every single year consistently.
So you do a market report, right?
Correct.
So you give the numbers and how things change every day. And is that like nerve-wracking every day to have to see the ups and downs?
It's not nerve-wracking every day to see the ups and downs because usually we know that it's a long-term play. Individuals have to accumulate assets over time as well. We're not trying to time the market of the day.
That's right. That's good advice, folks. Let me just tell you. Where's your office, Grant?
My office is in Salem, Liberty Street by Bush Park.
By Bush Park?
Correct.
Liberty Street.
So it's right down the street from where our billboard used to be.
Okay.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. On Liberty Street by Bush Park. Okay,
yes.
Good. So I know the Edward Jones model, you have your own office, obviously,
I do.
And assistant. People come in and you help people manage their money and grow their money over time.
Absolutely.
That's your whole job. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I have to say this on behalf of Grant so he doesn't have to, but there's a lot of people and a lot of things you read in newspapers and magazines about whether or not you should use an advisor. Should you have an advisor? How do you find an advisor? Just do it yourself. Do it yourself. Use a robo app on your phone, you know, so you can manage the market and your investments and your entire financial security future on an app on your phone kind of malarkey.
But then
it's like, here's the thing.
You don't have a person to answer your questions then.
You don't. And frankly, most people don't want to do it. And that's the part that's missing. When you're reading those articles from the people in the magazines and the columnists, folks, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant, but those people do finance every day. And the assumption that everybody can do it and everybody wants to do it is crazy.
Yeah.
Dave Bourne changes his own oil.
I do.
Right? I used to change my own oil. There came a time in which I decided, you know what, I'm going to pay somebody to change my own oil. I used to do my own investment back in the 90s. And there came a time where I actually hired an Edward Jones guy. And I had an Edward Jones guy for over a decade until I ended up in the industry myself. But because I had other things to go on and I wanted to hire a professional to do it for me.
Right.
There's no difference, folks. They're like, well, what about the cost of paying Grant Kendall? Right? Well, what about the cost of not having any advice? What about the cost of not really prioritizing it in your life? You hire somebody who prioritizes it in your life.
Yeah.
So that's my commercial for you, Grant, in terms of,
good
you know, whether it's Grant or somebody else who's an advisor,
having
get some help.
Having a knowledgeable, trusted individual that's really got your back,
yeah.
That's somebody that is a true fiduciary working for you to achieve your goals is one of the most important things. It's additional support.
Grant Kendall, tell the audience, the listener, how should they pick an advisor?
How you should pick an advisor is really look at who you're comfortable working with. Test some out. Go in and interview them. Don't only look at one. Don't just take a recommendation off one person, but identify who it is that you want to work with and make sure that they are trying to help you achieve your goals.
Yeah, it helps if they have the same value system you do.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you're talking to somebody and you're not a get-rich-quick person, like, you know, you're a pragmatic, you know, run a solid course kind of person, and you're not looking for some sort of scheme, and you run into someone who's a scheme person, a get-rich-quick, you know, kind of peddler, maybe that doesn't intersect with your value system, right?
Edward Jones' values is being honest, ethical, and profitable. It's very important. The clients expect it of me, and I expect it for the clients.
Honest? I'm sinking that in right there. You hear that, Dave? Honest, ethical, and profitable. That sounds like... That's basically what we want out of you guys, right?
That's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
So, really important. It's just like, would you get your hair cut from somebody who only cuts their hair once a year? Right. Or are you going to entrust your financial future to somebody who does it every day? Right.
Yeah.
And in America, a lot of people don't realize this, Dave, but people in America spend more time planning their summer vacation than their financial future.
That's scary.
Yeah. I sound like a commercial for you, Grant.
Absolutely. Sorry. Well, that's why people pay us, so that I can spend more time planning your financial future opposed to your vacations.
That's right. There's people for that, too.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Anything that you want the public to know that we got you on air?
Hey, I just want to say, please come out to the Polk County Fair. We're having a great time. Tomorrow is the 4-H auction. Come out and see that and support the kids and support everybody out here in Polk County.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you found the Polk County and the more rural customers and clientele and people maybe agricultural related are more open to you and are aligned with Edward Jones?
I think, yes, there are a lot of individuals that are aligned with Edward Jones. Sometimes there's good fits, sometimes there's not. I love this community and work with everybody here.
That is awesome. Yeah, folks, so check it out. Come out, talk to Grant. He's got his booth here. You're going to be here all 3 days?
I am.
Oh, man, a yeoman's job.
Yeah.
That is nice. He's working his own booth.
That's the kind of man he is. Yeah.
And people can come out and pick your brain, right?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm sure we'll hear from you later for your market report.
Yes.
Right? That comes at 2 o'clock?
2:02.
203 will be the market report.
Yes, all right. Will. Thanks for being with us, Grant. We appreciate it. That's Grant Kendall, Edward Jones office in South Salem on Liberty Street. Well, we'll hear from you again a little bit later.
Yes. All right.
Thank you, Grant.
Great to see local businesses supporting, you know, local little fairs that are very, you know, the Polk County Fair is kind of like Anna says, a home gathering.
Yeah.
It's a gathering place.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to plug somebody in the industry. You know, and Edward Jones does have a good model, and they have a lot of good people in their franchises in town. And here's the part where people don't know. They don't know what they don't know. They don't know what they don't know.
Right?
One of the most rewarding things I've had in the financial services industry is I like to help my clients to send less money to Congress.
Right.
So sometimes they don't
know
what,
for that.
Sometimes they don't know what tools are out there,
right,
and things that they can implement, changes in how they do things, or account types of accounts that they can open. But I'm like, hey, you're sending too much money to Nancy Pelosi. I mean, it's just, let's just not give it to Nancy. Let's not give it to Governor Brown. We can save some of this money and keep it in your retirement, or even in the much bigger picture, keep it in the family.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and somebody like Grant, you know, that's what you need him for. He keeps up with all the latest rules, regulations, and laws.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have time for that.
Right. And between him and our estate planning attorney interview with Jeff Moore.
Yeah.
Just beginning of last week, we had Jeff Moore in from Soffel Griggs and the estate planning. Wow, he dropped a couple of nuggets, didn't he?
Yeah.
In terms of, well, people don't realize, but this. You're like, oh, my gosh, that's, you know, people probably listening and saying, that's me.
Right.
I'm in that pitfall.
Yeah.
This is a serious situation, and we need to deal. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with keeping control of our money and our assets. But a huge component is, all right, as we're passing down to our remaining spouse, if we are to proceed or the next generation, are we going to give some of that money to Kate Brown?
Yeah,
are we going to send some of that money to Nancy Pelosi, or are we going to keep it in our family?
Mm-hmm.
So really
well,
important.
You can listen to that show, by the way, on the podcast at KYKN.com.
And look for Jeff Moore a week ago Monday.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, a little Polk County business. Before we go to break, Commissioner Mordhorst passed this to me yesterday. Polk County's trying to do a survey and finding out about people's broadband experience.
Oh, really?
Okay, and this is coming from the Trump administration, and one of their goals is making sure all of America and rural America has access to broadband.
Okay.
Right? He was saying there's communities in Polk County has no high-speed internet whatsoever. In Monmouth and Independence, they formed a consortium. They formed a co-op, and they have MyNet, Monmouth Independence Network, right? And it's fiber optic cable with blazing fast speed practically in every address in Independence and Monmouth.
Impressive.
But some of the more rural areas. Anyway, this is a survey, and the county wants you to check it out. You can get it at the booth here. Go on to Polk County websites to find a link. And they're just a quick survey about how do you get your internet, what do you use it for, who's your provider, and so forth. There's like nine questions. Fill that out, so they can have the base knowledge to move forward and maybe get some grants of the federal government to get more high-speed internet.
All right, so go to the website, co.polk.or.us.
I love how those county websites
end up. Yeah, they always have the dot.
CO
yeah.
For county.
www.co.polk.or.us. That's where you find that survey. How fast is fast enough?
Well, it depends if you're a gamer or not, right?
Right.
Didn't we learn from Summit Computers that we interviewed yesterday, and some of those gamers, especially some of those kids at Western Oregon, they want screaming fast machines. I'm like, do you need it that fast? Do I need a $10,000 unit to run Microsoft Word? Right?
Probably not for your business, but, you know, we need fast computers in the radio business. Got to have those.
Yeah. So. Oh, it's amazing. And then, but to think, you know, we really do, and I would support that if federal government can help get the rural community so they have the same access to high-speed internet.
Yeah, that everybody else has.
Yeah, everybody else has and can use for both quality of life issues, but also educational and exposure to what's going on. Maybe they want to stream KYKN, for instance.
See? And if it keeps buffering, that's frustrating. So
listen to your commissioners. See if you can get this little questionnaire for Polk County and fill that in so that they can have the data and collect the data and apply for the necessary funds to make sure small communities in this area can get their broadband. All right. Thank you. Hey, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to wrap up the hour right after this. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we're at the Polk County Fair. So come out here on Highway 99 tonight, tomorrow, just get here. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, live from the Polk County Fair in the L&L Equipment KYKN booth, presented by Vanwell Building Supply. Here's Brent and Dave.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This segment proudly sponsored by Green Acres Landscape, and our nice, lavish booth here at the Polk County Fair is sponsored in part by Oak Knoll Golf Course, Summit Computer and Technologies, LLC, and Hewitt's Greenwood Gardens. If you never checked that out, you got it.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. That Oak Knoll is just a few driver shots away from here.
A couple of driver shots.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back. It's so nice to be talking to everybody at the fair. We've talked to volunteers. We've talked to vendors. We have another segment here in our special two-hour broadcast. Let's talk about a couple of news items, if we could, Dave.
Okay.
Some of these things we may have to dive into as in upcoming weeks in a little bit more detail. But big news coming out of Salem Hospital, of course, is their expansion of 150 new beds.
I had that on the news this morning.
And if you can visualize that, there's what they call Building B. Mm-hmm. And there is a
right near the emergency room.
They're going to tuck this thing between the emergency room and the elevated garage there. That's in a pretty small footprint, but it is going to be seven stories high. So they're just looking at demographics, folks. And this is another example of pointing to the importance of Salem Health to our community, of course, in terms of we have one center for this kind of advanced hospital. It's the busiest. You know, I think it's the busiest emergency department in all around.
In the Mid-Valley, yeah.
So 150 new beds, but having driving this is the demographics and how much is it planned to grow. You know, they're going to have to, they're on five of those seven floors will have beds in them for 150 beds, 30 beds a floor. Right, and the emergency room, 110,000 visits annually. That's amazing. Luckily, they planned for this, unlike the last time they expanded, when they expanded a garage, and then within just a couple of years, they said it had to tear it down because that's where the tower is going to be. That was a little bit of a blunder.
Poor planning.
But now they plan for this, and it was right next to the elevator bank and so on and so forth. So they plan to do so with a mix of some of the cash that they have on hand and long-term debt financing. And since we were just talking to Edward Jones, you know, you can buy bonds that are backed by hospitals that are expanding. So a construction bond, right?
Oh, right.
And those typically are qualify as a municipal bond. Even though it's not the actual city, it qualifies as a tax-free bond. So I know that we bought those in the past. If you're looking for an investment of something that pays an interest rate and you don't have to pay income tax on it,
yeah,
because it kind of gets the status of a tax-free muni bond, as they call it. But it's something you could ask your Roy Jones guy about.
It's kind of like investing in the community.
Yes, you can invest in Salem's expansion and help pay the cost of building that new expansion for Salem. I was trying to get the numbers in terms of how much they anticipate the community growing in terms of people over 50. And it's substantial. I mean, we talk about in Marion and Polk counties, Portland State University anticipates 100,000 more people just in Marion and Polk County, 100,000 more people in the next 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That is substantial. We better be planning for that.
Are you talking 55 and over?
No, that's just total population. Total population in Marion and Polk counties to go up by 100,000 people. And just between now and 2035. So I rounded that a little bit. Seniors are 20%. Okay. Seniors are 20% of the population.
That's people moving here.
People moving here and people having babies at Salem Hospital, Silverton Health, Fanny M Hospital, and so forth. All right, one other thing. We got a little time for this, and this is interesting. It's more on the national scale, but certainly affecting us in Oregon is the Trump administration lost the lawsuit having to do with sanctuary status in Oregon. And the awarding of grants, having to do with public safety. So Trump administration is not alone in losing just to Oregon. There are a lot of these lawsuits where, as you might recall, the president said, well, we're not going to send, you know, money. We're not going to send grant money to the states for public safety if the public safety is not going to help the federal law enforcement officials with immigration.
Basically breaking the law.
So Oregon has the first sanctuary state law in the books. It goes way back to 1984. I know I wasn't paying attention in 1984.
No. See how they snuck that in there?
Yeah. It's... And I get both arguments. You know, if you're not going to cooperate with federal law enforcement, do you really deserve a subsidy from federal dollars for law enforcement? Right? So I get the Trump administration's argument. Absolutely. Yeah. Frankly, it's completely lost on me how any law enforcement official, law enforcement agency says to another law enforcement agency who are supposed to be administering the same laws, more or less, right? We're not going to cooperate with you. We're going to pick and choose which ones we think laws that need to be enforced.
Can you imagine the relationship between the federal agency that's in downtown Portland?
Yeah, like the FBI.
The FBI. Having to deal with the city and the state there?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't imagine.
So the law says in Oregon that first sanctuary state law says law enforcement officials will not detain somebody because of their immigration status if there's no other law that they've broken. Basically, I know that works.
Okay.
All right. So on the flip side, for the court's case, is that, hey, this was awarded by Congress, not the executive branch. And I get that, too, that you can't get the executive branch of government to come in and put a roadblock to funds that were distributed by the legislative branch, right? It was distributed through the budget authority, the legislative branch, and awarded by Congress. And the executive branch can't come in and interrupt that because of separation of powers, basically. And I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I don't want Obama doing it, so I can't wait.
Right?
We got to say whether or not it's right or not, or the separation of what the executive branch can do and what the legislative branch can do. So anyway, Trump administration lost that lawsuit. So for Portland and for Portland police, that's good news because they lost out on a couple of grants since 2017, $780,000. Those 2 years, so they get those to help pay for, you know, medical kits, GPS systems, bulletproof vests, and things like that. Some of the federal dollars coming in. And we mentioned this yesterday, and it's really too bad, and I wish it were not so, but the Salem on Ice isn't coming back.
I know. You mentioned that yesterday. I was like, shocked. Why are they not?
They had a 20% decline in attendance. They started out pretty well. I think they went from 35,000 to maybe 28,000, and they just didn't think it was economically feasible, right?
Oh, man. That's too bad.
And it had to do with the weather as well.
Oh, okay.
They were saying, hey, we've done this in other communities where the weather is exactly the same. It can be more predictable. But here in the Mid-Valley, you can have a cold snap or you can have a hot weather where people stay outside and don't go ice skating.
Well, that's it for us at the Polk County Fair. Come out and see us.
We're going to see you again Monday, but I hope you've enjoyed our special newsmakers. This is Brent for Dave. Have a good weekend.
This has been Len Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, live from the Polk County Fair in the L&L Equipment KYKN booth, presented by Vanwell Building Supply, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.